Good afternoon, listeners. I'd like to invite you to take a little walk back in time with me to a time of soda shops and penny candy, of neighborhood grocers and silver screen legends. Welcome back to the golden age of radio and enjoy classic radio plays of a bygone era, reimagined here for you by the Alexander Radio Theater. Here transcribed is Lynn LaPelli as Richard Diamond, private detective.
Hello there, this is Diamond. Hey, I got a beef. I went shopping for my girl Helen Asher the other day. You know, stuff for dinner. This town's gotten hotter than a blast furnace in Death Valley, so you gotta pick out things that make for a cool meal, like salads, cold cuts, beer, real picnic style. Well, I figured I could whip up a fancy tossed salad or something until I got around to the tomato counter. Have you glommed onto the price of tomatoes lately? Now, what's with that? So the cost of living is inflated. So a T-bone makes like it just arrived from the Sultan's classiest cow. Okay, a T-bone I can understand, but what's with a tomato? When it costs so much it should be hanging from a charm bracelet instead of lying on a salad bowl, who needs it? So I bowed from the waist and figured you still could do a lot of things with a plain head of lettuce. Oh, hey, I got another beef too. Why can't people start their killings in December when it's cool? Now, about a week ago, I got mixed up in a case, and before it was over, I took so many salt tablets, I'm now the best seasoned private detective in New York. It started last Tuesday morning around 11 o'clock in an apartment on the Upper East Side.
Jenny!
Yeah, genius?
No cracks.
No cracks? We're both waiting for old Gibson to turn us into the cops, and you say no cracks? This whole rotten mess is your fault.
Well, I did not know the old goat wouldn't fall for it.
Well, he didn't, so we better start packing.
What for?
Because I don't want to play hostess to a lot of little men in blue. I'm allergic to handcuffs.
Relax, will ya? He won't find us.
He can trace me from the other apartment.
How? Gibson don't know your real name? Did you leave anything at the other place that would lead him here?
No. Cleaned out everything except the clothes. I didn't intend to move them.
Notice you got away with a mink.
Well, what'd you want me to do? Leave it behind?
Nah, we can hock it.
Hock it?
Yeah. You want to blow town? It takes cash. Cash I ain't got.
You're telling me.
Look, baby, if Gibson goes to the police, I'll have to hock the coat so we can blow this joint, see?
All right. You go get rid of it and I'll start throwing some things in our suitcase.
Who's that?
How would I know? Maybe it's the landlady.
Oh, I forgot. They're repainting the floor today.
Yeah, I saw the painters in 206. They'll probably start in this room in a couple of hours.
Okay. Dump the coat. I don't want the landlady to spot it.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? Gibson!
Sir, you really aren't married, huh?
Who is it, Harv?
Hello, Virginia.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes. I waited around in front of the other apartment and followed you here. I wanted to be sure to send the police to the right place.
Oh, look, Mr. Gibbs.
You look, whoever your real name is. I don't like being blackmailed or threatened.
But please.
No, Virginia. My mind is made up. In a way, I'm sorry for you, but you didn't think about me. I'm past 60 and I'm tired of being made a fool.
Look, why don't you give her a break, Mr. Gibson? I'm not asking for much.
Oh, that's very noble of you. You should have thought about that a few hours ago when you accused me of making love to your wife. You're not really married.
Why, you oughta.
There's no need for expressing your indignation. There'll be plenty of time for that when the police arrive.
Harv?
Yeah, come here.
How dare you? Take your hands off me.
Look, you ain't calling nobody. You'll listen
to
me.
You take your hands off me.
What are you gonna do, Harv?
I'm gonna change this old goat's mind about calling the cops.
You can't threaten me. Oh, struck me.
How'd you guess?
Harv? Take it easy. He's an old man.
Your concern is misplaced, my dear. I can take care of myself.
Why, you... Give me that cane.
I'll be glad to give it to you. Across your shoulder.
Give me that.
Harv, be careful.
Hit me with a cane, will you?
You young...
I'll shut you up for good.
Ah! Harvey! 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 You idiot.
Huh?
You big, stupid idiot. Look what you've done.
So what? He'll know better next time. Throw some water on him. What'd you hear me? Throw some water on him. What's wrong?
Hard.
Come on, Gipsy. Come on. Holy cow.
Is he?
Yeah. Shut up! We gotta get him out of here.
Why'd you have to hit him with a cane? Now you're in trouble.
I'm in trouble. We're in trouble, baby. We. Stop that crying all over the place. Help me get him out of here.
How are we gonna do it? It's broad daylight.
Yeah, we gotta get him out of the building like this. We'll have to wait till the night.
We can't leave him in here.
Why not?
The painters.
What do you mean, what?
They'll be here in a little while.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Now what, genius?
Shut up, will ya? I gotta think.
Diamond Detective Agency, murders finest while you wait.
Oh, you idiot.
Oh, this is Toodles Asher, the belle of Park Avenue?
This is Helen Asher, the girl that goes steady with Diamond Detective Agency.
Sounds like a fine organization. Are they reliable?
Very seldom.
Oh.
I'll tell you better as soon as I find out what I'm going to do tonight.
You're
going to
give your butler the evening off, and the Diamond Detective Agency is going to march through your front door, single file, and show you a shortcut to spin the bottle.
What time does all this begin?
How long will it take you to pucker?
About 2 seconds.
Well, I won't get there till 8. Don't hold it or you'll end up looking like Betty Boop.
Oh, you're terrible.
Yeah, but I'm pretty.
So's a baboon.
Oh, what you send.
You won't be late, will you, Rick?
I don't know. After that last crack, maybe I better start going steady with King Kong.
Rick.
No, I'm mad.
Ricky, I love you.
Only because I can hang by my tail and my fangs have that toothpaste smile.
I think you are the most wonderful man in the world.
Well.
I think you're the handsomest, the strongest, the smartest.
Well, all right. Now tell me something I don't already know.
Rick.
Bye, baby. See you at 8.
Bye.
A, I'm adorable. B, I'm so beautiful. C, I'm... Now look, honey. I can't make it until 8 o'clock. I got a fan dancer who's a client, and she wants to go out and trap an ostrich this afternoon.
Is this the Diamond Detective Agency?
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Is this Mr. Diamond?
Yeah, what's the matter? You sound like you're standing on a body.
Oh, Mr. Diamond, please, you've got to help me. I just don't know what to do.
Now take it easy. Who is this? What?
I thought it moved.
What moved?
The man sitting in my chair.
Well, that happens now and then. Why shouldn't he move?
Oh, because he's dead.
What?
Yes. I came home this afternoon from girls' camp, and when I unlocked my door and went in, I saw this, corpse sitting on my Hepplewhite.
On your what?
Hepplewhite. I don't know how he could have gotten there.
Hepplewhite?
No, the dead man.
What about Hepplewhite?
Who?
The guy this corpse was sitting on.
Oh, no. That's a chair. Hepplewhite's an old antique chair.
Oh,
now I'm so confused.
Well, move over, honey. Now take it easy and give me one thing at a time. Who's the dead guy?
Well, I don't know. I never saw him before in my life.
Okay. Now why haven't you called the police?
Well, I thought about that, but I'm a school teacher, Mr. Diamond, and I was afraid of the scandal. I read a lot of detective stories, and the first thing that came to my mind was calling a private eye.
Private eye,
You have the biggest ad in the phone book, so naturally...
Naturally? Well, give me your name and address, and I'll be right over.
Oh, Esther Blodgett, 419 East 79th Street, apartment 108.
Okay, Esther. Now, don't let anyone in, and don't touch anything.
Oh, I know that, silly. After the initial shock wore off, I found myself in complete control.
What's the matter?
I'm so nervous. I just lit a cigarette. Tasted so good, I offered one to the dead man.
Well, if he takes it, remember how you did it. I'll be right over. Hepplewhite. Oh, is Walt going to have fun with this?
Homicide. Sergeant Otis.
Hello, Otis. Let me talk to the lieutenant.
Diamond?
No, this is Black Beauty. I just did a mile in 1:12 and I wanted to report that I've been dope.
Very funny.
I thought so. I didn't win the race, but I was the happiest horse on the track. Now, put the lieutenant on the phone.
Lieutenant Levinson.
Diamond, Walt.
I don't want any. You take your killing to another precinct.
Oh, now, don't be a sorehead. Giving you business is just my way of showing you my friendship.
Can't we just be buddies at a distance? I'm tired of chasing corpses.
Well, grit your teeth and get over to 419 East 79th, apartment 108.
Homicide?
Yeah, a dame named Esther Blodgett reported it. She lives there.
Who's dead?
Well, I don't know. Oh, yeah, a guy named Heppelwhite.
Heppelwhite?
You ask Esther about it. She'll put you straight.
You coming over?
Yeah. Bye. As I went out of my office, I thought about Esther Blodgett and wondered how mad she would be when the police showed up. I had to call them whether she wanted the scandal or not, because homicide comes first in my book. I'm an ex-cop and I still follow the rules. It's not a conscience. It's just like staying in business. So when someone turns up with a killing, I always let Lieutenant Walt Levinson know about it. I grabbed a cab and 20 minutes later I was standing in Esther's apartment along with Walt, the dead man, and Heppelwhite.
Oh, you're a swell fellow, you are.
What's the matter, Walt?
I've been going through that Heppelwhite routine for the last 10 minutes. I just found out it was a chair. That one right over there, the one the stiff's in.
Mr. Diamond, now why did you call the police?
I thought you'd ask that.
Because that man's been murdered, Miss Blodgett. That's what good citizens do when they find a dead man in their apartment.
Oh, but the scandal. I'm a school teacher. What will my students' mommies and daddies think?
Honey, just confuse him with that Heppelwhite routine. What'd you find out, Walt?
Not much. The coroner will be here in a few minutes.
Looks like someone gave him a pretty good beating. What's that all over his clothes?
Isn't that blood, Mr. Diamond?
Yeah, he's been bleeding all right. I mean that brown stuff. Walt, looks like lint or something.
I noticed that too. I don't know what it is. We'll have the lab analyze it.
Yeah, tell me, Esther. You said when you came in, you unlocked the door?
Yes, that's right.
Are you sure it was locked?
Why, yes. It has a catch lock. Besides, you have to turn the key and use the other hand to turn the knob and...
Did you touch anything? Open any windows?
I touched nothing.
Well, there's a good one, Walt.
Yeah. A corpse sitting in the room with the door and all the windows locked. Do you always lock the windows when you go out, Miss Blodgett?
Well, I've been away for several weeks at a girls' camp.
Aren't you a little old for that sort of thing?
Oh, I've been counseling one of the teachers who goes along to take care of the young girls.
What do you think, Rick?
Well, he wasn't killed in this apartment.
No signs of a struggle.
There's only blood around the chair and on the body. He must have been carried in.
There would be blood trails on the floor.
Not if he was carried in something. You say you never saw this man, Esther?
Never in my life.
Any identification in his wallet?
Yeah, the name's Gibson. Leland Gibson. No money taken either, so that eliminates the robbery angle.
Any address?
Yeah, he's got an old driver's license. 16 East 64th Street. Pretty classy district.
Judging by his clothes, he was well fixed. Tailored, good store.
And as soon as the coroner arrives, I'm going to check this apartment building. Maybe somebody heard something or saw something.
Hey, Walt, let me check this 64th Street address for you.
This is a police job. Why do you want to check it?
Oh, because poor Miss Blodgett looks so unhappy.
I am, Mr. Diamond. I'm very unhappy.
See, Walt?
So she's unhappy. If you want to check the place on your own, go ahead. But I'm sending some men over anyway.
Mr. Diamond, I like you.
Well, thank you, Esther.
No.
I want to hire you to catch the killer and free me from this awful policeman.
Awful policeman? Do you know how I got this way, Miss Blodgett?
Oh, I'm sure it wasn't easy.
Good for you, Esther.
I got this way because of this private detective.
Just call me Blue Eyes.
Ever since he stopped working with me and left the force, I've gotten mixed up in more screwy cases than an alcoholic in a whiskey truck. There isn't one week that he doesn't turn up with one or two killings.
My, he gets excited, doesn't he, Mr. Diamond?
And in his spare time, he intimidates my sergeant.
Just call me Rick, dear.
I've taken enough bicarbonate in the last year to stop Vesuvius from erupting. And if he doesn't give me a little peace and quiet, I'm going to end up solving a killing of my own.
Rick. My, that's a nice name.
How did you ever get to be a school teacher? You don't look the type.
Are you listening to me?
What makes me so different?
Oh, I've seen signs on highways that say it better than I can.
What are you two babbling about?
You mean the ones that say, danger, stop, look, and listen?
Well, that fits, but I was thinking about curves and soft shoulders.
That's it. Oh, no, now you listen to me, Diamond. This is serious business. A man's been killed in soft shit. I mean Miss Blodgett's apartment. If you want to take her on as a client, go ahead. But any questions from here on in will have to be gotten down at police headquarters.
You are taking me in, Captain?
Lieutenant, yes, you'll have to come down for questioning.
Rick?
You go along with the big bad policeman, dear. I'll have you out in no time.
Well, all right, if you say so, but this has never happened to me before.
Now.
That's unfair.
Walt?
Stop blubbering.
Walt?
What?
Now.
Oh, you get out of here. Otis, where the devil is Otis?
We'll leave Detective Diamond in the hubbub and heat of New York City for a moment to travel west with the Jordan Motor Company. We'll drive beneath the endless clear skies of the western plains in the stunning new Playboy Roadster. Somewhere west of Laramie, there's a Bronco bustin', steer roping girl who knows what I'm talking about. She can tell what a sassy pony that's a cross between Grease Lightning and the place where it hits can do with 1,100 pounds of steel in action when he's going high, wide, and handsome. The truth is, the Playboy was built for her. Built for the lass whose face is brown with the sun when the day is done of revel and romp and race. She loves the cross of wild and tame. There's a savor of links about that car, of laughter and lilt and light. A hint of old love, and saddle, quirt. It's a brawny thing, yet a graceful thing for the sweep of the avenue. Step into the Playboy when the hour grows dull with things gone dead and stale. Then start for the land of real living with the spirit of the lass who rides lean and rangy into the red horizon of a Wyoming twilight. And now, we return to Richard Diamond to see how his investigation of the Gibson murder is progressing.
I left Walt jumping up and down in front of Esther and the corpse and headed for 16 East 64th Street. It was an old brownstone in one of the wealthier districts, and when I rang the doorbell, I got another surprise.
Yes?
Yes. Don't tell me you're a school teacher.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, forget it. It's the landmarks that threw me.
What do you want?
Do you know a Mr. Leland Gibson?
Yes. He's my father. Now, just who are you?
Name's Diamond. I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you, Miss Gibson.
It's Father. Something's happened to Father.
May I come in?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Yes. Now, please, what is it? What's happened to Dad?
Well, he's dead.
Oh, no.
Now, look, no. I know this is tough, but you've got to help me. The police will be here any minute.
Police?
Yes, your father was murdered.
Oh, I knew something like this would happen.
You did? Well, tell me about it.
Well, I don't mean I expected Dad to be...
Oh, okay now. Just take your time. Cry it out.
I'm sorry. Have you a handkerchief?
Oh, sure. Here.
Thank you.
Now, do you think you can talk about it?
Dad left the house about 3 weeks ago and moved into a hotel.
Did you have a fight or something?
Oh, no. Everything was fine, but...
Now, hang on.
Things couldn't have been better, and he was in wonderful spirits when he left.
No arguments? No hard feelings? He didn't leave mad?
Oh, no, nothing like that.
Then, do you have any idea why he suddenly packed up and moved into a hotel?
Well, I'm not sure, but I think it was a woman.
A woman?
Yes, he told me one day that he had met someone he liked very much. The day after that, he moved into the hotel. I never saw her, and he never said any more about her.
Weren't you a little worried?
Naturally. Father isn't a young man anymore. I mean, wasn't.
Oh, just one more question. What hotel did he move to?
It was the Adams on Madison Avenue. He used to go there 3 nights a week for dinner and a game of bridge before he decided to move in.
Well, thank you. Are you all alone?
Yes.
Got any friends you can call?
A few, I guess.
Well, call them. It's better not to be alone. And bawl your head off. It'll do you some good.
I'll send you your handkerchief, mister.
Diamond. Richard Diamond. It's in the book. For some reason, I've got a talent for leaving people emotionally disturbed. Walt hops around like a rabbit in a cabbage patch. And Otis always tears his hair out by the handsful. Miss Gibson was less active about it. She just tried to smile and spilled enough grief to fill a tub. I grabbed another cab and headed for the Adams Hotel.
Yes, sir. Do you wish to register?
No, but I want to find out about someone who did 3 weeks ago.
Oh?
Yeah, oh. A Mr. Leland Gibson.
Why, yes, he's staying at the hotel.
From now on, that's past tense.
Huh? I don't understand. He hasn't notified us that he's leaving.
Well, that might be a little difficult. If you'll run down to the morgue, I think you'll find you're stuck with an empty room.
Morgue?
Yeah, Mr. Gibson has taken over one of the slabs, rent-free.
Oh, my goodness! What happened?
He's kind of dead. When did you last see him?
Early this morning. He left the hotel around 10.
Know where he was going?
Why, no.
Do you remember him having any visitors in the last 3 weeks? A girl, I mean.
No! Are you looking for a girl?
It's going to be a long night. Yes. Mr. Gibson's daughter seems to think he was running around with a woman since he moved into the hotel.
Oh.
You say that like you knew what I was talking about.
It was common gossip around the hotel.
What was?
Well, Mr. Gibson has been coming to the hotel for many years. He used to eat dinner here 3 nights a week, and then play bridge with some of the hotel regulars. Now, about a month ago, we took on a new waitress.
Uh-huh.
Now, it was very obvious that Mr. Gibson was quite taken by her. So much so that he moved into the hotel and ate at her table every night.
Oh, and what was her name?
Virginia Pilgrim. Quite good looking, about 5 feet, brunette, well, very,
I'd like to see her.
And that's impossible. She left the hotel about a week after Mr. Gibson arrived.
Oh, swell. Wasn't Mr. Gibson unhappy?
Oh, no. He was very happy, in fact. I believe he wanted her to move so he could see her more often.
Now, what makes you say that?
Some of the things she said in the kitchen to the other girls.
Do you know where she might have moved?
No, but, you might check with the flower shop. Mr. Gibson used to send her flowers every day.
Well, thank you. Well, I wasn't sure just where I was going, but if Virginia Pilgrim was my best lead, then maybe she could tie the Gibson murder up with a silk ribbon. I talked to the flower clerk, and he gave me the address that the flowers had been sent to every day. It was a nice apartment in the village, and the landlady stuck her nose out like she was trying to smell me instead of see who was calling.
Yes?
I hope that door doesn't slam shut sometime. You'll have a bloody nose for weeks.
What do you want?
Roll out an eye with that nose, and I'll show you my badge.
Aren't you cops ever polite to anyone?
Well, there's a face that goes with it. I'm looking for a girl about 5'3", dark brunette.
You're in the wrong place.
Her name's Pilgrim.
Oh, her. She lives upstairs.
She does, huh? She in now?
No, she went out this morning. Hasn't come back.
And she probably won't. She have many visitors?
Only a couple. Men.
That figures. Ever see an elderly man, gray hair, about 60?
Sure. Every day.
Know his name?
No.
You said she had a couple of visitors. Who else?
Another man. Young guy. Kind of greasy. Only came around a few times. The old man was there this morning. Had an argument.
Could you hear what they said?
I don't snoop.
Anyone else?
No.
Who paid her rent?
She did. Cash.
Mind if I take a look at her apartment?
Got a search warrant?
No.
Then you can't.
Okay, thanks. You've been charming. I left the old bat and headed back to the schoolteacher's apartment. If I was right,
I'd seen setups like this before. But there was still the problem of finding out how Gibson was killed and how he got into a locked room. When I pulled up, I saw the wagon, complete with corpse and coroner, pulling away toward the morgue. And when I went in and knocked on the door, I was certain they had forgotten one of the bodies.
Oh, it's you, Detective.
Why, Otis, they're leaving without you.
Who is?
The hearse. Shouldn't you be lying down or something?
Now you stop that, Rick, and get in here.
Hello, Walt. What's new?
Well, Rick.
Well, Esther, has Otis been using his rubber hose on you?
Oh, no, no, but I was getting lonesome. I'm glad you're getting back so soon.
You are?
As soon as you two quit rolling your eyes at each other, maybe you can tell me what you found out, Mr. Diamond.
Ah, yeah, well, send Otis down to the station for a search warrant. Then tell him to get over to 9 West 12th Street and see what he can find in a Miss Virginia Pelgrim's apartment.
Who's Virginia Pelgrim?
The only person who was mixed up with the murdered man. There was another man who used to see her, but I can't find out who he was.
All right, Otis, go get the warrant.
Yeah, Lieutenant. Thanks, Diamond.
A pleasure, Sergeant. What'd you find out, Walt?
There were 11 people in the building at the time of the killing. None of them ever saw the guy before. Here's a list of the names. 3 people on this floor, 5 on the second, and 3 more on the third.
Have you talked to the landlady?
Certainly. She doesn't know any more about that than the rest.
What about that funny brown lint on the dead man's clothes?
We're checking on that right now. The lab said they'd call me.
Did the landlady say she had a key to this apartment?
Sure, sure. But she hasn't used it but once since Miss Blodgett was away at girls' camp.
When did she use it?
3 days ago, when she had to let the painters in. And she says that the windows and door were definitely locked. Because after she let the painters in, she locked them herself.
Painter, huh?
Yes, and I've been looking, you know. I think they've been doing a terrible job. Why, the kitchen alone.
Esther, dear.
Yes, Rick?
Later, dear.
Yes, Rick.
Walt, did they paint the whole building?
They finished the second floor today. Oh, I'll get it, Miss Blodgett. Probably the lab. Yeah. Yeah, I see. Okay, thanks.
Rick, do you think you know who did it?
I got a hunch.
Oh, you're wonderful.
Yeah? Lab, Walt?
Yeah. That lint you spotted on the dead man's clothes is from the mat that they put on the rugs.
Hmm. Walt, you were on all the floors. Did one of the apartments have a rug missing?
They're all missing from the second floor. The tenants took them down to the basement when the painters moved in.
Any off this floor or the third?
No. Just the second.
Well, your killer's on the second floor, Walt.
How do you figure?
Well, let's take a look at what we got. A dead body in a locked room. Blood on body and floor around body. But nowhere else in the room. Carried in.
In a rug?
Bullseye.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Esther.
Sorry.
Yeah, but how does a dame called Pelgrim figure into it? There's no Pelgrim listed in this building.
Well, there shouldn't be, if I'm right. The dead man met Virginia Pelgrim when she was a waitress working in this hotel. She gave him a pitch and he fell. He put her up in an apartment so he could see her more often.
So what?
I think she was working with another man, a man who was seen around her apartment by the landlady.
Then how did the body get over here?
The guy the dame was working with probably lives here.
What about the motive?
Well, my guess is that Gibson was being blackmailed, and he followed the girl here. He was probably going to yell, "Cop," so they killed him.
Okay, now what about the locked room? Explain that.
I'll let the landlady of this building explain it, Walt. Go ask her one question. Who had this apartment before Miss Blodgett?
Esther.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Esther.
Oh, I can tell you that. A Mr. and Mrs. Austin. They moved to a smaller apartment and let me have this one. It's more rent and they couldn't afford it. I expect this is a better apartment, though. It has very...
Esther. What apartment did they take?
Oh, it's on the next floor. Apartment 209.
According to this list of people who were on the second floor at the time of the killing, the Austins are the only couple. What did Mrs. Austin look like, Walt?
Oh, about 5'3", dark brunette. Very, very...
Well, say no more. Come on, Walt.
May I come?
No, Esther. You stay here. I'll be back later to discuss the better features of your apartment.
Yeah?
I want to talk to you again, Mr. Austin.
Why, I told you everything I know.
Where's your wife?
In the back.
We're coming in.
Okay, you don't have to shove.
Who is it, Harv?
Them cops again.
Hello, Virginia.
Do I know you?
Where's your rug, Mr. Austin?
It's down in the basement.
Miss Pelgrim, how long have you been married to this man?
About 3. Hey, how'd you know?
Shut up.
Know her name? You might as well tell her lieutenant everything. Why did you lie about not knowing Mr. Gibson?
I didn't. I never saw him before in my life.
I didn't tell you the dead man's name was Gibson. How do you know that?
Don't answer that.
Oh, shut up. You and your husband killed Mr. Gibson and carted him downstairs in a rug.
Why would we do that?
Because the painters were on their way to paint your apartment and you had to get him out without being seen. You dumped him in Miss Blodgett's apartment because you knew she was out of town. And you used to live there, so you still had a key.
How?
Just shut up.
We got enough to hold both of you on. The rug will have blood stains on it.
Get out of my way. Get out of my way.
Why, Walt, you're so rough.
Yeah.
I didn't kill him. Harvey did it. I didn't kill him.
Okay. You can tell me all about it down at the station. Hey, where are you going?
6:30. I got a date.
What about Miss Blodgett? She's going to get lonesome again.
Ah, she was born that way. I got to see a girl who's going to hold a pretty interesting class of her own. Bye.
Hi.
Well, don't you look comfortable? Where's Francis?
Oh, I gave him the night off like you suggested.
You're cute.
I've got a cool dinner in the library.
School days.
Well, you sound happy.
I was just thinking about a school teacher I knew once. That looks toothy.
Sing for your supper?
What?
I got a new tune on the piano.
Oh, honey, I'm hungry.
You sing first, and then you eat.
Oh, all right. What is it?
Right here. So in love.
Okay. Strange, dear, but true, dear. When I'm close to you, dear, the stars fill the sky. So in love with you am I.
I'll keep going. I'll get it.
Even without you, my arms fold about you. You know, darling, why. So in love with you am I.
That was some girl asking for you.
Oh, some girl. Well,
I told her there was no one here but the piano tuner.
Oh, she leave her name?
Uh-huh. Heppelwhite.
Heppelwhite.
Yes.
Hmm.
Who was she?
Come here, baby.
No, I want to know who she is.
I said come here.
No!
Mwah!
Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Heppelwhite?
Oh, just a chair, baby. A cute blonde chair.
You've just heard the Alexander Radio Theater's presentation of Richard Diamond, Private Detective. The original show aired October 8th, 1949, starring Dick Powell, Virginia Gregg, Ed Begley Sr., Will S. Herbert, Georgia Ellis, Tony Barrett, Joan Banks, and Norman Field. The original music was under the direction of Frank Worth. Richard Diamond is written by Blake Edwards. Our production starred Lynn LaPelli as Richard Diamond, Don Benfield as Harvey Austin, Kay Henry as Virginia Austin, George Brown as Leland Gibson, Laura Wallers as Helen Asher, Leslie Meadows as Esther Blodgett, Chad Ritchie as Sergeant Otis, Larry Riddle as Lieutenant Walt Levinson, Laura Crooks as Miss Gibson, Don Benfield as the Adams Hotel clerk, and Faith Wallers as the landlady. Sound effects were created or collected by the cast, and music was used royalty-free. Full credits will appear on the library website. The Alexander Radio Theater is brought to you by the Alexander Community Theater, the Alexander County Library, and Apple City Broadcasting. This is Micah Henry, your announcer, inviting you to tune in next month for another Alexander Radio Theater production. Take your time as you head back to the present day. Enjoy the view, and don't miss the little things of today that will be tomorrow's treasures.